Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests."
Today we relight the candle of expectation and hope, recalling God's promise. And the candle of preparation, remembering the voice crying in the wilderness, urging the people to prepare the way of the coming Lord. And the candle of proclamation, reminding us of the joy found in him. And now we light the candle of revelation and peace. We celebrate the announcement of the coming King and the greatness of God's love revealed through the Christ child.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for revealing yourself through Jesus, and we praise you for the greatness of your love. Help us to share your peace with others and live more like Christ every day. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
What a great, fun morning. Do you know, first of all, let me wish you all a Merry Christmas. Here we are. I am a great believer that church should be one of the most fun activities of your week. Anybody agree with me? So, you know, you folks who attend Comox Pentecostal found out probably the most last week when I had you all jumping and having fun. I personally think God is just a lot of fun. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just, he's all these things. But I think that God is just... It's just joy, and he's just so much fun. And I believe that when we have come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we've been forgiven of our sins, even when life circumstances are rough, and hear me now, life circumstances will be rough if you live long enough. Anybody? I'm not preaching a Pollyanna sermon this morning. If you live long enough, you're going to go through some really tough times. And you're going to go through some really painful times. But even in those tough and painful times, I believe that God is a God of joy and that God is a God of fun and that his presence and his love for you gets you through those tough and painful times. And someday, church, in the new year, I'll give you my story. And Anton and I gave a little bit of that to the council. But when I talk about having to go through tough and painful times, we have experienced them. And in all of those times, it's been the love of God and the joy of God and the presence and the peace of God that have brought Anton and myself and our family through those times. So when we get to Christmas, whatever circumstance you're in, I was telling the folks in prayer this morning, dear friends of ours, just this week, Philip and Rebecca. Philip is 46 years old, and he passed away on Wednesday, and leaves Rebecca, his wife, and four children, ages 10 to 17. A year and a half ago, Philip was diagnosed with brain cancer. So today we are celebrating, Anton and I are saddened, but we are celebrating that Philip is home with Jesus, and that Rebecca is covered, and they will come out of this knowing the presence and the peace and the joy of Almighty God. I believe it. And so whatever your circumstance is this week, as you enter into the Christmas week, and there are many different circumstances, I encourage you to choose joy. I encourage you to embrace the Christmas season as much as you can. And if you're a little bit like me, I encourage you to be a little bit crazy and have a little bit of fun, because God is good. All right, that's not my sermon. My sermon starts now. You ready? Look at everybody and say, pray. I tease the folks here. I say I've reduced my 4-hour down to 30 minutes, so you're all going to be fine. This morning we lit the last Advent candle, not the last one, the last one I will light on Tuesday night at a Christmas Eve service. But we have been doing this themes of Advent, and the theme that we're going to talk about this morning is love. We thank you, Lord, for your great love. And we have talked about hope, peace, joy, and this morning we're going to talk about love. We are doing a series called Just What I Always Wanted. And I reminded folks that years ago, one of our three sons, when he was 4 or 5, he would open, you know, Christmas presents Christmas morning, and I would know that the child didn't even know whatever it was he opened existed. But the minute he opened it, he'd be so excited, and he'd go, "Oh, it's just what I always wanted." And we used to laugh because the child did not know the very gift that he opened even existed, but the minute he saw it, it was just what he always wanted. And this morning, we're going to talk about the gift of love. This is love. This is the gift of love. I feel like we're looking through the lens of time. When we look at the birth of Christ and we look at Christmas, there are so many things going on in Christmas. I'm very pleased to say the gifts are wrapped and I'm ready. Hello. You have just witnessed a Christmas miracle. How many of you watch the sappy Hallmark movies? Come on, come on. Man, you can, look, right there. Come on. You can tell a Hallmark Christmas movie, you know, girl's hurt, moves to back to her small town, meets a boy, they fall in love. Somewhere in there, they need a Christmas miracle. Girl gets an offer to go back to the city to a job. She leaves. She gets to the job in the city and realizes, oh, I miss the boy. And she moves back to the small town, and the boy is pining, but he knows that she has to do what she has to do. And then... In the middle of all that, the small town needs a Christmas miracle. And suddenly, on Christmas Eve, outside of a beautifully decorated home that none of us will ever have, the snow, because you cannot have Christmas Eve in a Hallmark movie without snow, right? They obviously do not do Hallmark movies on the West Coast, man, I'm telling you. Because if it was West Coast, the rain would fall. But suddenly, the snow begins to gently fall. Boy meets girl, and somebody announces, the Christmas miracle has happened. And girl goes, pitter-patter, I can't live without you. And boy goes, come here, baby. And the rest is, well, the rest is love. Right? That's what it's all about. But we're not talking about that kind of love this morning, all right? We are talking about the love of God. The character of God, which he cannot change, is love. The very heart of God, which he cannot change, is love. I loved watching these people go through water baptism this morning. That was just so exciting. And Pastor Trevor read a scripture that I'm going to read to you again. You see, Jesus was baptized and set the example for all of us because of his love for his Father. And so let's read, whoever has the slides, if you can put up the scripture for me. There we go, Matthew 3, 13 to 16. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, you've heard this morning, but pretend you haven't, to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized to you, by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. Now, being the mother of three grown sons, anytime one of them comes around and I'm introducing one to you, I'll say, this is my son, whom I'm incredibly proud of and I love so dearly. It's as natural as breathing. And you see, God the Father, speaking about his son, Jesus, said, this is my son, whom I love. And then he said, with him I am well pleased. You see, God loved the Father and revealed his plans to him. He revealed his dreams to him. He revealed his hopes to him. And the Father, in turn, shared everything with him. You see, Jesus was water baptized, not because, and if you put the next slide up, Jesus was water baptized not because he had to perform a ritual. Jesus was water baptized because he loved his Father. You see, Jesus walked in the favor of his Father. I watched fathers with their kids being water baptized this morning. That was so awesome. And I could tell that those kids being water baptized this morning walked in the favor of their Father. They were obeying God and God's command to be water baptized, but they were walking in the favor of their dads and their moms and their grandpa. Such a beautiful thing. And it was the same thing for Jesus. He was walking in the favor of his Father, and his Father showed up at his water baptism. So, by the way, planet, this is my son. I love him. You do well to listen to him. And see, today, I want you to understand something. We walk in that same favor. Sometimes we forget about that. Those of you who have given your life to Jesus, like these kids talked about today, he places his favor on you. You say, well, Anne, you know, if you knew the terrible things I've done or I've thought or I've said, listen, we can all look good on a Sunday morning, can't we? We can all look good. I can dress up really nice on it. Well, I can clean up good anyway on a Sunday morning. But you have to understand that we all have the same experience. We are all sinners saved by grace. And that grace is the love of the Father. This time of year, we talk about Santa Claus a lot. Can I say something to you? Don't knock Santa Claus. There are people who say, I shouldn't have Santa Claus, blah, blah, blah. Listen, and I'm a pastor. Don't knock Santa Claus. Because the image of Santa Claus, the jolly old soul who knows you by name, who loves you and brings you gifts, is the closest image to God that some people are ever going to have. And I believe even through Santa Claus, people can come to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are children on the planet who have not been loved, who have not been cared for, and there are many organizations that will somehow have them in a group and bring Santa Claus in. And Santa Claus somehow knows their name and has a present for them. That's the closest thing to the Father heart that child may get that year. And I believe Holy Spirit can whisper through those moments, I love you more than Santa Claus. That I give you for free. The next one's going to cost you $5. But then we have the music about Santa Claus. And, you know, let me talk about some of the music of Santa Claus. But first of all, let me tell you about the love of the Father. The love of the Father that we're talking about this morning is agape love. And agape love is this. It's selfless. It's an act of the will rather than the emotions. And it best characterizes God. That is agape love. It was that agape love of God the Father who sent his son to be born in a manger, to be raised by a carpenter and his wife, to die on a cross, to be buried for 3 days, to resurrect and to ascend up to the Father in heaven so that you and I could celebrate Christmas today, so that you and I could be free today. That is agape love. And so you see, this is the season of love to goodwill to all men. And I include women in there, I'm just saying. You know, in the Hebrew and the Greek, there are words that are specific for man or for women. In the Hebrew, a man is an ish. God bless you, you ishes. Excuse me. A woman is an isha. I think that's because the men look at the women and go, ah. A woman is an isha. But this is a season of goodwill and love to all men. But you know, in this season, Santa Claus is sung about sometimes in a way that puts conditional love on him. You better watch out. You better not shout. How does that song? You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows when you've been naughty. He knows when you've been nice. I'm not singing it exact. He knows when you've been good or bad. Bad or good. And he knows if you eat rice. I don't know. But but see, the thing is this. When a child hears that song, Instead of hearing unconditional love, the child hears, I was wrapping Christmas presents for our family yesterday and a song came on the radio. I'm getting nothing for Christmas because I've been bad all year. And then it goes on to detail how bad this kid, it's really quite hilarious, but I'm getting nothing for Christmas. You see, that's the message of the world. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. I'll be nice to you if you'll be nice to mine. That is not what God says. Let me give you the message of heaven. And I just lost my sermon. There it is. Praise the Lord. Do you know I was doing a wedding once and I had my iPad out? And I had written some very specific things for that wedding and my iPad died. I had it fully charged, but something went wrong. And we're out by the ocean and my iPad is gone. Well, it's not gone here. I want to give you the message for heaven. Out of some scriptures that you may not be overly familiar with, but these scriptures just make me sing. So the message of the world is, you be good and I'll love you. You be nice to me and I'll be nice to you. Here's the message of heaven. You ready? Isaiah 49:13. Shout for joy, you heavens. Let's just stop there. God says through the prophet Isaiah, heavens, shout for joy. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Who are God's afflicted ones? And we might say, well, it's somebody in a refugee camp. It's somebody who can't feed their family. Yes, yes. But do you know who God's afflicted ones are? All of humanity. Do you know what God's idea of affliction is? Being separated from him. And so the prophet Isaiah says, come on, shout for joy, heavens. Rejoice, earth. Mountains, burst into song. Because God has compassion on humanity. Because God, and he didn't say it this way, but we see it now, God will send an answer for you. God will come and care for you in your hurt. God will come and care for you in your separation. God will send a Savior to bring you back to himself. That's agape love. I find it really interesting that this scripture talks to the planet and then says, oh, by the way, God has comfort on his people. Now, in scripture, when it refers to islands and mountains and this kind of thing, it's also referring to peoples, to nations. But I also see something here. I'm being very politically correct with climate change right now. I think when people are comforted and received by God, they change, and suddenly the earth has a reason to sing. Imagine this. If everybody who confessed Jesus as Lord did their part for this planet, do you not think this earth would sing, so to speak? God has come to comfort his people. What did Luke chapter 2:14 say on that night? Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. I see a theme here. When God enters, glory appears. When God enters, the light shines into the darkness. And even the angels themselves had to sing it. Last week, we had a production put on by our Comox folks. They were incredible. And I love the one of the two angels. That was hilarious. If you didn't see it, come next year. Maybe they'll treat you to it again. But they're talking about Mary receiving the news that she was going to have a child. Well, what did she say? How is she going to tell her parents? On it went. But these two angels were excited because at the end of the skit, the one angel was going out to get the choir together to tell the shepherds, he's here. Glory to God in the highest. Because God has comfort on his people. One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, the younger generation might not know this, but there's an incredible classical music called Handel's Messiah. And this is a beautiful aria where an alto or a tenor sings, comfort ye, angel voices now, comfort ye, my people.
You don't want to hear me sing the whole thing. But it is one of the most moving songs. Because as the professionals are singing it, if you are open, the presence of God comes. And there are times in my younger years when it was very popular, go and hear it. I'd be sitting there listening and taken up with the presence of God and fighting the tears that wanted to roll down my face. Tell Jerusalem her hard service has been completed. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that God has paid for every sin that we could ever commit? And he says, tell Jerusalem that I'll give her back double for all her sins. There's nothing more wonderful than being forgiven for something, isn't there? I was talking to a girlfriend this week, a wonderful girlfriend, and she had a situation, and she said to me, I blew it. I opened my big mouth and I said, and she went and asked forgiveness and received forgiveness. And you could just hear it in her voice. Oh, that was good. God comes along, whether we're interested in him or not, and says, I know your name. I know everything about you. And I've paid for every sin you will ever commit. What did the angel say to Matthew, to Joseph in Matthew 1:21? He said to Joseph, your Mary will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You see, this is a love that overtakes. This is a love that transforms. This is a love that gives and gives and gives, even when we don't want to give back. Right now, we have the joy of our newest little grandchild, and he's 5 weeks old. And if you were at our son and his wife's home that they're in right now, this is how you would have seen Grandma on Friday. This little man, our son said, Mom, he needs to sleep. Okay. Oh, pardon me, I'm doing this as well. He's one of those little ones that likes the bum pat. Yeah, yeah. No, come on, little man, you got to go to sleep. Come on. Now, see, he's not giving me any love at that point. He's fussing. But eventually, after Grandma added the dance, you know, put a little more into it, get the hip swing going, eventually he fell asleep. That little man right now is receiving unconditional love. And he is so safe and so secure. That little guy right now, I believe, in his spirit, is experiencing the love of the Father through his parents and his grandparents. Unconditional love. You can scream for the next 2 hours. Your grandma's just going to walk and talk, hopefully lose a couple of pounds. Unconditional, unconditional love. Love is found in a baby boy. See, this baby boy named Jesus birthed in a kingdom that nobody could ever have believed. What I notice is human kings aren't born in stables. They come in palaces. Human kings don't live in commoner homes. They live in wealth. Human kings don't learn a trade to make a living. The trades serve them. Human kings don't wander with the common people. They keep their distance. Human kings don't willingly die for their people. Their people die for them. Way back when Israel said to Samuel, we want a king. One of the things he said to them was, fine, I'll give you a king. God will give you a king. But understand, you'll die for him because he's going to create an army and you'll die for him. And what Samuel said happened, human kings don't die for their people generally. Their people will go to war and die for them. Human kings generally don't offer unconditional love. They can't. They're human. The love that they offer is sincere, but it's also part of their duty. I notice that human kings leave this world and they're buried, never to be heard of or seen again. But this baby, this Jesus, my king, your king, he left his heavenly home to be born, to identify with us. He arrived in a stable to identify with our lack and poverty. And I'm talking lack and poverty in my spirit, not my physical lack and poverty. He lived amongst us to identify with our struggles. He picked a ragtag group of disciples to show there's no favoritism. He was supported by women to show that there was no sexism. He healed the sick and raised the dead to show that there's no limits. He willingly gave up his life to deliver us from sin. He rose to show his glorious power, his limitless love, and he left the world. But can I tell you, most assuredly, he's coming back again. That's my King. That's who I serve. He's the one who died for me. He's the one who said, I'll be a baby and I'll go through all of that. I'm sorry, folks, he soiled his diapers just like every other baby. But he was a king. There are babies born destined to be kings, but rarely, ever, never has a king come along to be a baby. But our Jesus did. My King did. That's agape love. Whether you love me, whether you ever come to me or not, I love you. The heartbeat of God this morning is just overwhelming. I love you. I love you. Yeah, but God hates sin. Yeah, but God is going to get me if I do something wrong. Yeah, God is going to love you like a parent and help you. But God loves you beyond your ability to understand. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He loved us first. Woo! See, and I don't know who loved who first, honey. Anton and I have been married 39 years. I remember the night that I knew that I knew that I knew that I loved him. And here's the deal. He knew on a Monday night. He was asking the Lord, should he ask me to marry him? Of course he should. But as I recall, sweetheart, when we talked about it, lo, these many years ago, he knew on the Monday night. On the Tuesday night, I remember lying in my bed, and all of a sudden out of my mouth came these words, Lord, I thank you for Anton. He would be the most wonderful husband I could ever have asked for. And on the Wednesday night, he proposed. It took me less than half a second to say yes. You see, we loved each other, and love grows richer and stronger. I'm so in love with this guy because we have the richness of 39 years of marriage together. But the love of God is what brings you together. The love of God is what seals you. The love of God is richer than that. The love of God says, whether you ever turn to me or not, I love you. And whether you ever give back to me or not, I love you. So how do we view this glorious event called Christmas? Let me suggest this. Never lose the wonder of Christmas. We live in awe. And if you've lost it, I pray God will bring it back. Keep the critics out. Those of you who attend this church know that I have a pretty positive outlook on life. But there are people who will say, well, you shouldn't celebrate Christmas. It's a pagan holiday, or you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Just bless them and let them go. We have two Christmas trees in our house. We have three. I have a little one that the grandsons can decorate when they come. It's not about the Christmas tree. It's not about the decorations. But it's out of the fullness of the love of God that we celebrate. Keep the critics out. Love them and bless them. Keep perspective. You have every reason to rejoice. Live in humility. This God came in agape love for you. I don't know you on the inside, you know, but I know me. That God would come and give his life for Anne Margaret Donkers is just the most astounding thing I have ever heard. And there are days, church, when I'm reduced to tears out of gratitude that he would love a sinner like me. Unbelievable. And thirdly, live in a heart of forgiveness. I found during this season people have hurts that come up. You need to maybe forgive yourself. You need to forgive somebody else. You don't forgive people to get their approval. Listen, you forgive people to set yourself free. Whether the person ever says, I forgive you, or, you know, be released or whatever, you just forgive and forgive and forgive. Because the only way to live this life is to live this life in freedom. The only way to be free is to let go and forgive. That's what Jesus did for you. He came as a baby to die for you,
to forgive you, to set you free. And so lastly, let me just say this. We've talked about hope, peace, joy, and love. That is the very nature of God. That is his character. And all I can say to you out of this is simply this. God, the God of hope, the God of peace, the God of joy, and this great God of agape love, bless you and yours this Christmas and keep you until our risen King comes again. Would you stand with me, please? Would the music team come back, please? I want to pray with you before I give it back to the music team, but I'm going to ask them just to play quietly. I've talked a lot this morning about this God of love and this God of forgiveness. When I was 5 years old on my fifth birthday, my father sat me on his lap. My father and I were very close. And he said to me, "Do you know, Anne, Daddy loves you this much." And I knew that. I figured the only reason Daddy got up was because I was the apple of his eye. It did not occur to me that my mother was the apple of his other eye, but I was the apple of his eye. He said, "Daddy loves you this much, but sweetheart, Jesus loves you this much." And at that moment, a little heart was transformed. I prayed a simple 5-year-old child prayer. I asked Jesus to come into my life. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. What does a kid do at 5-year-old? Steal cookies? Tell a lie? I don't know. But see, sin is sin. Whether you're 5 or 95, sin is sin. God doesn't distinguish, "Oh, he did this, but she only did this." There's no sin. Sin is sin. What is sin? It's separation from a God who loves you unconditionally. I just turned 62 this past week. I know I'm so young looking, but at 62 years old, that moment as a 5-year-old child is as real in my heart today as it was way back then. And so I'm not going to close this season or this sermon without asking you. You may be 5, you may be 105, it doesn't really matter. There's always room at heaven. Some of these kids said, "I want to go to heaven." See, they know that Jesus is preparing a place for them. They've given their life to Jesus. Would you close your eyes? Would you allow me that? I'll keep my eyes open this morning. But if you're here this morning and you've heard this crazy weak preacher, but something inside your spirit is stirring, you're saying, she's talking about something that I haven't experienced. Just in the quietness of this moment, if you want to give your life to Jesus, would you just put your hand up and put it down again? Just in the quietness of this moment. Anybody here that wants to give their life to Jesus, right there. Yes, I see that hand. Yes. Yeah, I see that. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. I'm going to pray this morning, and pray with me on the inside. And when we ask Jesus, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, it's instantaneous and you're going to know it. Pray with me, dear Jesus. In fact, entire church, pray with me so these folks are comfortable. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming as a baby to live and die for me. Thank you for agape love. Thank you for extending it to me. I receive you this morning, Jesus. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean on the inside. And I want to live with you all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.